We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. In the 21st century classroom, learning and technology go hand in hand. On tonight's program, we'll talk about a Columbus City School iPad project that is changing the way teachers teach and the way students learn. Joining me this evening are Columbus City School educators Cindy Wright, Jennifer Harvey, and Kevin Jackson. Welcome back to Teacher Talk, Cindy, and greetings to you, Jennifer and Kevin.
Good evening, Sue.
I'm so glad that the three of you could be here. Last spring, Cindy and I met, and we talked a little bit about the iPad project, and it was really fascinating to me because I love technology myself, and I'm so happy to hear about its use in the Columbus City Middle Schools. And so we're going to be exploring that topic a little further today. But first of all, let's learn a little bit about my guests. Cindy, tell me about your professional experience with the Columbus City Schools.
Okay, Sue, this is my 27th year in the district as a teacher. I have taught previously at Ridgeview Middle School, Monroe Middle School, and right now I'm funded by the Race to the Top grant, and I am a 21st Century Learning Specialist.
And what were you teaching when you were at those middle schools?
I taught everything. I taught mostly reading and language arts for 9 years, math, science, and social studies for 2 years, and then computer awareness for 4 years before I went into the technology role.
We have a renaissance woman here.
Yeah.
We do. Wow, that's great. And I certainly appreciate that background of yours, although I never had the math science experience. I taught language arts and computers and drama and speech and all of that, and it's actually a wonderful profession when you get to explore these different areas. Well, let's hear from Jennifer. We have with us Jennifer Harvey, and she is a Columbus City School teacher. Tell me about your background.
Well, Sue, I began my teaching later in life, and with Columbus City Schools, I was an elementary teacher for a few years. Then I became a math coach, and then I defected into the middle school programs.
Uh-huh.
So this is my 6th year at middle school at Indianola Informal K-8, and currently teaching 7th and 8th grade humanities, as well as an 8th grade Common Core Math 8 class.
That's what I like about elementary and middle school teachers, because they're able to kind of do it all. Those of us, like me, who are high school teachers, we're kind of locked into a smaller area of expertise, I think. And so well, it's really great to have you on the program, Jennifer, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about what you're doing with this iPad project. And Kevin, we have with us Kevin Jackson, and he's also a middle school teacher. Tell me about your experience with Columbus City Schools, and I'm going to guess that your years do not rival Cindy Wright's.
Technically, they don't. But they kind of do, because I was a student in the district.
So, oh, okay. And
so
what school did you attend?
So I went to Valley Forge, Woodward Park, and Northland.
I was a student in the district, too.
K-12. You know what? I love when my guests...
So, never mind. My years don't match hers.
Okay. Well, but, you know, I love that, though, when I have guests who have been students in the Columbus City Schools or graduated. And so you graduated from Northland High School.
Yes.
Were you in that teacher program?
I was not. That fell kind of to the wayside before I was able to get there.
Ah, okay. All right.
But then when I first started teaching with Columbus, then I started at Northland.
Oh, you went back to your home?
I did go back to my alma mater.
Were some of your old teachers there? And they had to be really old by then. I know some of them.
They were, but I won't say old.
Okay, right. Experienced.
So, yes, experienced.
And what do you teach there? What did you teach
I taught all freshman Algebra 1. Mm-hmm. And then I was staff reduced and moved to Afrocentric.
Mm-hmm.
And since that past year, I was then moved to interviewed at Champion Middle School, and I've been there now for 4 years.
Wow. Well, good for you. Good for you, Kevin. And certainly it's great to have you on the program, and I take it that you're still teaching math. Is that right?
Of course.
Okay, great. Well, now we've learned about our guests, but let's learn a little bit more about what they're actually doing that is related to this iPad project. Cindy, last year, 26 Columbus Middle School teachers applied for and won grants, which furnished each of them with an iPad cart. So First of all, let's talk a little bit about what was included in the package that the teachers received. What was on that cart?
Okay. So basically, they had a MacBook Pro laptop that they received that is on top of a cart. The cart is known as a syncing station. So it's a way to put all of the apps and everything on the 30 iPads that are inside of the cart. The cart also included a wireless access point and an Apple TV, which was a mirroring device so that this, the teachers could project what the students had on their iPad to the whole class. They were also given a suite of apps to use, paid apps, which would be Keynote, Pages and Numbers, and iMovie, and then also $500 to spend on apps of their choice.
Wow, that is a wonderful, wonderful package that these teachers got. I want to know, Cindy, did this entire cart, which is, you know, has wonderful technology on it, not just the technology, but the software as well. Did it come with an instruction manual? Did these teachers already know how to use this?
Oh, I wish it came with an instruction manual. No, actually, Sue, it didn't come with an instruction manual. And I think that's where the professional development that we're offering is very important to these teachers and to making sure that this project is a success. I sort of compare it to getting a car, but you don't have a license, you don't have the training to drive the car. So it's sitting there, it's shiny, it's new, you want to use it, but it really does require a lot of professional development. We met, I think, with the teachers 3 or 4 times last year. We've yet to meet this year, but we're looking forward to the opportunity to continue. We're trying to work as a network with each other and provide ideas and move forward that way.
And there's so much to know when you're using technology, not just how to use the hardware and the software, but how to integrate this into your classroom practice. And that's, I think, where some of the most important professional development work comes in. Well, I want to ask Jennifer and Kevin, and Jennifer, we'll start out with you. Why did you want to be a part of this pilot project? Were you one of those who helped to write the who wrote a grant, or was this done by an individual for everyone?
Well, the grant for the actual hardware had already been put in place, and then principals got the information that there were these iPads available, and that teachers needed to write a proposal how they were going to use this technology if they had it in their classroom. And so that actually the principals were told to find someone who would actually use it. So my principal knows that I am very much an advocate of technology. Personally, just like yourself, Sue. So I wrote my proposal, you know, and submitted it. And of course, we were granted the use of the iPads. And so just being able to have the technology in the classroom was the first step. And then actually, you know, then deciding how is this going to be effective in my classroom. And the number one thing to me was access to information. If every child has an actual device in their hand, we're not worried about sitting at a seat with a desktop computer. They actually have the access to information at hand. That was the number one selling point to me, to have the technology in the classroom. Of course, the ability to collaborate with the mirroring devices like Apple TV or Reflector just enhanced the use in the classroom, as well as the kids' technology savvy responses to having them in the classroom. They guide me as to how it's appropriate to use in the classroom, what apps may work. Course, they go along the line of the games, and they try to advocate for the games. Sometimes they're successful. More often than not, they're not. And, you know, we spend time looking at what is appropriate for the classroom, what will help us do the things that we need to accomplish during the course of the day, the week, the quarter, the year.
So I can really imagine some students saying, really, Miss Harvey, Minecraft is very educational.
Right, and, you know, absolutely.
We really need to use this in the classroom. But I can imagine that that would be something that you would hear. Jennifer, another thing, how many, and I think that Cindy mentioned this before, but how many iPads are on that card? How many, is it structured according, does every card have the same amount of iPads for in that particular school or?
Yes, well, each of the 26 schools that received the cart had 30 iPads on the cart.
And so does that service all the students in a class? In other words, do you have classes that have fewer students, and so you have excess iPads. Do you have classes that have more students so you don't have enough? Does that ever happen?
I've had plenty to cover the kids that I've had. I know that we had some of our colleagues that were running into an issue of not having enough because they might have had 32, 33.
Got it.
And I'm not in a traditional middle school, being in a K through 8 building where kids start generally in kindergarten and go the whole way through, so I don't tend to have any more than, you know, the 30 kids. So.
I see. Okay. And what about you, Kevin? Why did you want to be a part of this pilot project and get your hands on one of these carts with all the goodies that are on there?
Well, being a new, younger teacher, I've had access to technology my entire life.
That's right.
So I think I had a cell phone when I was in middle school. So when I was
were you one of those?
I had to pay for my cell phone myself.
Okay. Did your teacher take it away from you?
So ever? I never had it in class because it was against our CCS policy.
Good.
but now I wanted to advocate for the technology and the use of that, having students become more researchers.
Which is kind of what Jennifer was saying,
exactly,
too, access to information.
The access to information. Because I know sometimes when a teacher just tells you the answer or gives you the information, you're not as apt to taking it all in.
That's right. Those skills.
Exactly.
Right.
Building those skills.
Yeah, you're not a part of it then.
Yeah. Right. So I wanted to make sure I had all the tools possible to help my students, especially being at Champion Middle School. I was, you know, brought in there knowing that in the school, in the Columbus Dispatch, it ranked us as the worst middle school in the state.
Wow.
So then when this opportunity presented itself, I was like, I got to get these.
Sure, give these kids some tools.
Let's give these kids the tools they need to be successful.
And Sue, Kevin should say, I don't know if you're going to say this or not, but how successful have your kids been?
We just this past year, we were ranked an A in student growth. A in student growth for students in the lower 20%. And we ranked a B in our student growth for students with disabilities.
Wow, that is incredible.
And specifically your scores, I think.
Specifically, my scores have increased tremendously each year.
Because you are engaging these students in a variety of ways.
Yes.
Well, what benefits do you hope to see as far as teaching and learning? You've already mentioned scores going up. Let's talk about the benefits that you see as far as you as a teacher.
I've honestly changed everything I do in a classroom.
Is that right?
Yes. So seeing the modeling from the teachers that I had growing up, going through my teacher education program.
You knew
in
what
college,
you didn't want to do.
I knew what I knew the good things and the bad things from what me personally would get out of a teacher.
Right.
And so I felt I know how to relate to these students. But yet when I got this technology, I was like, I don't know what else to do, so let's try something different.
Good. Right.
So the amount of direct instruction has now diminished. And so I'm not one of those teachers that stand at the board and give lectures, where growing up, that's how you do math.
The sage on the stage, everyone used to call that, right? Now, and so you already, did you already have experience though with iPads?
With iPads specifically, no. But I've had an iPhone, an iPod, a MacBook, and every other Apple product.
That's right. And if once an Apple user, always an Apple user, you just segue from one to the other.
Exactly.
Well, what about you, Jennifer? What benefits did you hope to see as far as teaching was concerned?
Well, to free me up to actually work more directly with my students, because that explicit instruction is not that's not my way of teaching.
Right.
And it isn't the philosophy of our building. We're an informal education practice. Students and teachers are a part of the teaching and learning cycle. So I needed to learn from my students, so I had to be more interactive with them, which with them having access to information right at their seat, I'm sitting with one, two, or three kids, and they're bringing up information, and we're, you know, in discourse trying to figure out how this information fits into what we're doing. They get up and teach, or they just sit and teach with, you know, with the mirroring, and right. they're able to.
So a lot of cooperative learning.
Absolutely. The collaboration, cooperative learning is phenomenal. Each child has the opportunity to teach in the classroom, and you don't lose out on those teachable moments because they're, you know, they're spontaneous moments, and we can capitalize that and share it even from a small device like their iPods, as long as they're synced in the same network, they can mirror mm-hmm. and share that information.
Well, let me ask you just very quickly, did you already have experience with iPads?
Just a little bit, Sue.
Okay, all right, no. All right. I know. And what that means is yes. Okay, Cindy, quickly, as someone who has a long history of working with technology in the schools, I know, and you've already brought this up, that you recognize the value of training teachers mm-hmm. to best utilize this new equipment. Now, we know that Jennifer already had iPad experience. Kevin didn't, but he already had Apple experience, so that really helps them a lot. But I know you had a lot of teachers out there who maybe hadn't used this Apple equipment or even the software. So how important is professional development when it comes to, you know, integrating this kind of technology into the classroom practice?
Well, Sue, it's very important. I do have to say, because we had some teachers who weren't as experienced with these tools, the beginning training sessions that we had really had to focus on just the basics of the tool, how to work the navigation system, how to turn it on and off, how to apply those apps. I mean, we spent a good deal of time just getting folks comfortable with the hardware and the software right. that was there. But then from there, now we're talking about pedagogy and how can you make pedagogical changes in your classroom. Kevin and Jennifer both mentioned it. It's not the same as working the way they, you know, were maybe taught in their teacher development classes.
Or even as in Jennifer's case, who has many years of experience, maybe what she was doing in the past. She probably integrated technology to some extent, but now it's kind of at the heart of a lot of what you do, right, Jennifer?
Absolutely.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you first present the kids with all of this technology, I mean, you're going to deal with some different types of classroom management issues. I mean, mm-hmm. as far as them on task, I mean, you're presenting them, you know, what Kevin said, they have access to everything now, so they're able to find information and bring it up to you. So it does have to sort of change the way you go about your classroom. We're hoping to get more professional development sessions on what would be best practices as far as pedagogy and how do you best reach children? What's the most effective way to use this technology? Not just saying I'm using the technology to be using it, but actually using the technology in the best way to actually make a difference in student achievement and in their lives.
That's right. And we've seen that Kevin already has seen a difference in student achievement by using some of this technology. But you know, we've been talking about it. Let's really take a close look at what you've actually been doing. Just kind of briefly, Jennifer, I want you to tell me about a lesson that you have done using the iPad, or where the iPad has been one of the tools that you've used. So can you just tell me about a lesson or a project, something that you've done?
Sure. Well, historically in my math class, I always have the kids look at old OAA questions, and they have to teach the other students how to solve it and, you know, look at some of the distractors and the answers and things like that. So this year what we went to is using EduCreations, which is one of those interactive whiteboards that they can actually record everything they're doing.
Yes.
It's an app on the iPad, yeah. So the kids can actually go through their lesson and record their voice and their actions that they're doing solving the problems. And then using the mirroring devices, they have to present that to their classmates. And so they're effectively teaching that question.
Right.
So they are engaged in Common Core activities of the writing standards, of using technology to collaborate and to disseminate information. They are looking at the mathematical practices that are something daily that they're supposed to be working in. I'm able to do formative summative assessments using these apps, the interactive whiteboard apps. And then the kids, you know, when they're teaching something, that's when they solidify their learning. Mm-hmm. So I have seen much more engagement in math, because we know that sometimes math is difficult for kids and they kind of tune out. But they know when they're using the technology and they're the teacher of the moment that they're really engaged in learning something, and it's exciting to be in the classroom on those days.
So. And you know, it's true that all of us here are teachers, and I know that you mentioned you solidify your background knowledge, you know, your knowledge of the topic when you are going to be teaching it, and we've all had that experience, and now we're giving that experience to our students. So that sounds as if it's something that will help them in that way in terms of their math, but also in terms of taking these tests. Kevin, how about you? Can you tell me about a project or a lesson that you have done with your students?
Oh, gosh. There's
just one.
Lots.
No, just one.
Which
we only
one?
Have 4 or 5 minutes okay. left, so just one.
The one that I really enjoy doing with them incorporates social studies and English into math. So we take a look at maps and we talk about.
Do you look at the maps on the iPad?
Yeah, we look at maps using either Google Maps or the Apple Map program.
Right.
And they have to pick an area either in our city, in a major city in the US, in a major city around the world. And from there, they have to give directions on how to navigate through that city to find different locations within it by using transversals, using acute angles, obtuse angles, supplemental angles, adjacent angles.
Okay, I want to ask you, I get the math, I get the social studies. Where did the language arts come into this?
Then after they navigate it, they have to provide a script and a
write
directions.
Good.
Using the math vocabulary, using north, south, east, west, make whatever kinds of turns, using only transversing through a supplemental set of angles or vertical angles.
So give me an example of a place that your students have had to go to.
So my students, one of the places we start out with is right there at our school.
Okay.
Through Long Street and Spring Street being parallel streets. And then the street that we sit on, 22nd Street, is a transversal.
Yes.
And so they have to talk about our school sits on the southeast corner of this intersection.
Well, now let me just ask you something here, though. Had you ever thought about having them go to like Budapest or to London? Because then, as an English teacher, I could see you then really getting into the culture once they get there.
And so we start out locally, and then we go. And one of the major cities that we looked at was Paris because of how their streets are structured. So,
the grid,
erratically, yes.
Oh, yeah, right. This sounds like it could be a really fascinating lesson. And as you say, it's really multidisciplinary. Mm. Well, now I want to ask each of you. We'll start with Jennifer here. Very quickly, how did your students react when all of a sudden you're bringing in this iPad cart? First of all, I guess I probably know the answer to this, but were they comfortable with the technology?
Well, it was interesting because some were, but there was quite a few that kind of shocked me that weren't. You know, Kevin's the digital native. Mm-hmm. I expected my kids to be the digital native, and I'm the one that had to scribe at my age to be a digital native, and I was more tech savvy than the kids when it came to the iPads, because I figured that they would have this knowledge based on the phones, because they all had phones, and some of them were really apprehensive. So we took a couple days just to play.
I bet they warmed up to it really fast.
Absolutely.
And you, Kevin, how about your students when that cart came into the classroom? You know, what was their reaction?
They were excited, and they thought, "Oh, well, this is just a gaming classroom."
I bet they were excited. They learned quickly the reality
with your classroom management and everything. You had to set your limitations and set your standards as to what they would be used for. And actually, like Jennifer was saying, you had to teach them technology as well as your content.
I see. Okay. Well, we are just about out of time. One last word here very quickly, Cindy. iPads are used extensively in classrooms throughout the state. How can we increase the presence of this technology in our district? How can others help?
Well, one of the things that we are trying, Sue, would be a bring your own device. And I know Jennifer is at Indianola K-8 and they are testing that right now. Also, I think we really need to look at our grant opportunities, our community support,
people that are out there that want to contribute, please do, because we really could use the support.
Okay. And so we can use the support. And if you are interested in helping to support projects like this, just contact your Columbus City Schools and, you know, let them know that you want to help our students. Well, I want to thank Columbus educators Cindy Wright, Jennifer Harvey, and Kevin Jackson for joining me this evening. This was such a great conversation to have with the three of you.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Sue.
This concludes our program. Please listen to Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Miziak wishing you a good night. And don't forget, a podcast of this program will soon be available at wcbe.org.